Stop and think of the places you've lived over the course of your life. It all started with your childhood residence, then perhaps the college dorm, then your first apartment, and your first home. All of those places represented a fresh start. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll draws a parallel between the places we've called home and the many new starts that come in life. It's a fitting subject as we step into 2019 together. Chuck titled today's message, How to Kickstart a Whole New Beginning. And we'll begin by reading from God's Word.
If you have brought a Bible with you today, please turn to the book of Joshua, the first chapter. Let me read for you the first 9 verses. Joshua 1, beginning at verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. Watch closely the place. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message Chuck titled, How to Kickstart a Whole New Beginning.
New beginnings have their delightful moments and their unique challenges, don't they? Just think back to something that you went through that was new. Your honeymoon. No, let's don't go any further there. There were some delightful moments, and then there were some challenges. Every time Cynthia and I'm not going to tell them, honey, so relax. Every time we go back to our honeymoon, we just sort of roll our eyes and move on to another subject. That's the way we handle it. How about a new job? Remember the last time you started a new job? You didn't know where things were. You didn't know what door led to what. You didn't feel that comfortable in somebody else's desk. You had to get used to a whole list of names of people you had not met before, and maybe you were in charge and they expected you to know their name, but you didn't. I remember my first day when it It was reality, and I sat down at the desk of the presidency of Dallas Theological Seminary in the middle of the summer of 1994. I sat at this desk and sat in that big leather chair. My rump was the wrong size for what had been formed in that chair, and I didn't fit the chair, and I pulled out a drawer, and that's not what goes in that drawer. That is over here. And so I piled that over here, and I pulled out these files. And files aren't there. Files are kept here, and I put them over here, and my phone was on the wrong side. I mean, I realize that I'm sitting where giants have once sat, and I'm a dwarf, and I don't fit this setting very well. And I thought, not only is he a giant, he's a right-handed giant, and I'm left-handed. And so that's why the phone is on the wrong side. And I remember changing it all around. I was putting this here and putting paper clips there and putting files over here and changing this to over there. And all of a sudden, I looked at my watch, and I realized it was time for chapel. And I was supposed to lead the chapel, naturally. And so it was a minute late, and I remember I grabbed my Bible, and I shoved one arm in my coat, and I thought for a moment how I was going to start the meeting. I opened the door and walked right into the closet, just directly into the closet. And I laughed out loud, and my secretary had never heard a laugh that loud in her life. She thought I was having a seizure and raced in, and I said, everything's fine. She finally got used. She never got used to the loudness, but she did get used to the laughter. And we had a lot of moments like that. I remember thinking, it's not supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be like it was, but nothing new was ever like it was. There are not only delightful moments, there are some real challenges, aren't there? Moving into a new home, the light switch doesn't work. Remember that? Or the toilet doesn't flush. Or this chair rail is loose, or the stairwell rail is loose. Or driven a new car out of the showroom and it dies on you at the first red light. We've been through things like that. Bringing a new baby home. Remember your first baby, and you thought you're going to sleep by it all night. You didn't sleep for 12 months when you brought that baby home, if then. And, of course, stepping into new church facilities. Well, this is wonderful. I even like the paneling on the walls. I like the color of the carpet. This isn't the pulpit that I will have. This is a borrowed pulpit. Because the one we're building for me glows. No, I'm just kidding. No, it doesn't. That's a joke. Just a little smaller and a little more simple. Why do I say things like that? You know, sometime when you are running an outfit, you think, well, at least I'm beyond the problem of change, and so it won't affect me, but it does affect you. I was reading Max Dupree's wonderful little book, Leadership Jazz, this last week, and he tells a terrific story on himself I could identify with. While CEO of Herman Miller, and one assumes certain rights and privileges as the CEO, I arrived at work one morning with a long list of phone calls that I had to make. As I turned to my telephone, I discovered my old phone with its 36 familiar buttons had been replaced by a gadget with an LCD display that looked like nothing I had ever touched before in my life. I asked my executive assistant, what's this gadget? And I was told it's my new telephone. But I didn't ask for a new telephone. Well, Carol responded, everybody's got one. That's yours. At 3 p.m., I was to be trained in its operation. I asked Carol if she could speed things up. I had a lot of work to do on the phone. Within a few minutes, Sally arrived and told me cheerfully she was here to teach me how to use my new phone. Her first question was, are you computer literate? I wasn't. Can you read the instructions on the screen? Well, I couldn't. She turned the brightness up. I still couldn't read the thing. In that case, she said, remember, and by the way, I am the CEO. Don't forget that. She said, "Perhaps you can't have a phone after all." When I asked for my old phone back, Sally said they had already been junked. At this point, I was really a little perturbed. I didn't want to change to a phone that rang with the tune, "Mary Had a Little Lamb." Carol, sensing warfare was about to erupt, stepped in and said that she would work out the problem, and Sally left immediately. A few hours later, a young man walked right into my office while I was holding a meeting. As if we weren't there, he lay down on the floor and began to work on the cabling of the new telephone. I inquired as civilly as I could, "What are you doing?" He told me in a matter-of-fact manner, "Sally said you didn't want a phone that rings, 'Mary Had a Little Lamb.' I'm changing it to the battle hymn of the Republic." Isn't that terrific? Can you imagine every time your phone, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- imagine the changes, because no matter how few or how many, you don't want them. You don't like them. The ancient Jewish Talmud has a great line in it I came across this week. Would that life were like the shadow cast by a wall or a tree, but it is like the shadow of a bird in flight. We all wish that life stayed still. We get accustomed to it. We like certain things arranged certain ways. We like the feel of the familiar. We don't like surprises. We really want trees and walls in life, but we have birds in flight. And some of you could tell your own stories and keep us laughing at the things that occurred in your life as a result of adjustments. But let me tell you something. Few people went through adjustments like the ancient Hebrews. They thought they had by now adjusted to all of the changes that were going to occur in their lives. Think of them. 4 decades in the wilderness, setting up church, taking it down, setting it up again, called the tabernacle, taking it down, rolling it up, and then unrolling it. They had the system down pat. Cloud moves, we move. Fire comes on the scene, we stop. Cloud moves, we move. Just as simple as that. Furthermore, they have Moses. Year after year after year, 4 decades, count them. Most of you have never in your life been under the same pastor 4 decades. If you have, you can appreciate the adjustment they had facing them. Moses dies. They've never been under Joshua's leadership. They've never really heard much from his voice. Moses' voice is in the woodwork. After 40 years, you've learned Moses' style. He's been your advocate before God. It's familiar. You know his length of patience, and you know his depth of wisdom. Probably no one besides Christ himself cast a more significant shadow across this earth's scene than Moses, the lawgiver. And he dies. And if that isn't enough adjustment, they are turning toward the Jordan and they're going to be moving into enemy territory. Who have not one God, but multiple gods, whose idol worship has led them down a path of what you and I would call gross immorality, which these Israelites by now are not even talking or thinking about. That's where they're going, and of all things, under a brand new leader. I have found in this first chapter of Joshua 6 very helpful guidelines for what I'm calling how to kickstart a whole new beginning. You've probably not taken notes before, and I rarely ask you to do that, but today I'm going to change my game plan. In your Bible, you will find some blank sheets, probably some pages that nothing has been written on. If things are written on it, don't change it. But if you've got a blank page where you're able to write a note or two, put down six guidelines that are still in vogue today. Just as they worked for the people of the Hebrews, they will work for us. Just as they worked in the land of Canaan, they will work for us in this territory where we find ourselves. Here's the first guideline. Let's face reality. Let's face reality. Now, it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Stop reading. That's reality. Now, in case you wonder what these people have been doing for the last few days, go back to the previous chapter, Deuteronomy 34, verses 7 and 8, and we'll see how they've been spending their time. Deuteronomy 34, 7, although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated. So the sons of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hand on him, etc., etc. Back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. God tells them the obvious. They not only know it, they have been praying through the mourning of it for 30 days. It's like my coming to you 30 days after your own mother or father has died and remind you your parent has died. Why would I do that if for no other reason it would be to say it's time for you to face the reality they are gone. You will not hear their voice. You will not see even their shadow. Their clothing will hang limp in the closet until you remove them. There will be reminders of them, but they are gone. Those days are past. Those experiences are over. I have found that it is imperative before anyone can move on, they must face the fact that the past is over. Some of you have gone through the horrors and disappointment of a divorce. Your partner has left. The marriage is over. For you to live in the backwash of those years and to shape your life for the future as it has been in the past will only hold you there longer, needlessly so, in the sorrow and sadness of what once was. In this case, the Lord is preparing them for the new leader, Joshua. Start here. Moses is dead. I'm old enough to remember the newscast, FDR is dead. We were still in the Second World War. I was a young lad. I remember my mother and dad's shock as they got the news of the death of the president. 18 years later, I was by then married and had a family living in Texas, and I remember the newscast, JFK is dead. Most of us remember where we were when that newscast was made known. I could tell you exactly where I was. I remember a few years later hearing, in fact, seeing it on television, the resignation of a president in shame as Nixon resigned. Those are vivid memories. For us as a nation to stay stuck there would only hold us back from the blessings of a future that would go on past those significant people in our nation's history. Start here, Israel. Face reality. Moses is dead. By the way, before I go to the second guideline, I remember a line from A.W. Tozer in his book, The Divine Conquest. Not a great name for a book, as he describes moving from Moses on to Joshua and then on to other leaders, the divine conquest. He said, when a man of God dies, nothing of God dies. Remember that. When someone who has been very significant in your life passes away, nothing of God has passed away. Nothing of God has changed when a man of God changes. Nothing of God falls when a man of God falls. Nothing of God moves on when a man of God moves on. He is the same, Hebrews 13:8. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Moses is dead. The implication is, but I'm very much alive. And the baton has moved from Moses to Joshua. And the implied command is, follow him as you have followed your longtime leader, Moses. Guideline number two, let's move on. Let's move on. The end of verse 2 down through verse 4. My servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross the Jordan. Isn't that great? You've mourned 30 days, and it's appropriate. You miss Moses, of course. Who wouldn't? No one quite like Moses. But now, arise, get up off your faces, get past the burial site, move beyond Mount Nebo, where you last saw Moses climbing to his place of death. Let's go on to Canaan. Cross this Jordan. Take on the challenges that the future will bring. Look at how it reads in verse 2. He even describes the boundaries. You and all the people move to the land which I am giving to them, the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you, just as I spoke to Moses. Then he puts the boundaries down. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea, that's the Mediterranean, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. They were standing on the east side and looking west toward the setting of the sun. Your territory will go all the way to the Mediterranean, the great sea. As I read that and I came across Lebanon, I thought, how good of God. He had us in mind when he saw verse 4 there, the wilderness to this Lebanon. So I put it in a paraphrase. From the campus of Collin County Community College and this Lebanon, thanks Lord, to Parkwood, even beyond Preston Road, near the Dallas North Tollway, all the land in Frisco, these 62 acres, as far as the edge of it will take you. Let's move on. Now, we all got a little bit attached to the college. Some of us a little more attached to those white plastic chairs than we should have been. But the point here is that we move on. There is a tomorrow. There is a future. There is a different kind of future. And it is beyond buildings and chairs and sites that are even now becoming more familiar to us. Let's move on to territory we don't even know is upon us. Let's move into new dreams and new directions the Lord will have for us. That's how you stay alive. That's how you keep from being static and stale in life. You welcome it. You move toward it rather than run from it. Warren Wiersbe, in his fine book, Be Strong, makes this statement. Over the years, I've seen churches and parachurch ministries flounder and almost destroy themselves in futile attempts to embalm the past and escape the future. Their theme song was, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Often I prayed with and for godly Christian leaders who were criticized, persecuted, and attacked simply because, like Joshua, they had a divine commission to lead a ministry into new fields of conquest, but the people would not follow. More than one pastor has been offered as a sacrificial lamb because he dared to suggest that the church make some changes. Moving on is full of anticipation and hope for some, but for others, it's tough.
A fitting topic for a congregation getting a new start. And it's the perfect subject as we step into the mysteries of a brand new year. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll. He titled today's study in Joshua, How to Kickstart a Whole New Beginning. Now, in case you missed any portion of today's program or any part of this current series, remember you can subscribe to receive the daily podcast so you can listen at your convenience. And as an added resource, Chuck has provided daily study notes for you. You can access his free Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org. If it's a daily devotional you're looking for, let me point you to the book Chuck has written called Good Morning, Lord, Can We Talk? Filled with daily insights from Chuck, this is perfectly suited for your quiet times during the new year. And you'll find all the details about purchasing a copy by going to insight.org/morning. This daily program and all the related resources are made possible in part through the faithful gifts of our monthly companions. We're making a concerted effort to add more members to the team, and we'd love to have you join us in this capacity. A monthly companion is someone who resonates with our mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ and wants to partner with us. You set the amount of your monthly gift, and we'll take care of the rest. To become a monthly companion right now, just give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Again, that's 1-800-772-8888. To give a one-time donation, we invite you to go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Join us again Tuesday when Chuck Swindoll's study called Changing Wanderers into Worshipers continues, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, How to Kickstart a Whole New Beginning, was copyrighted in 2001, 2002, and 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.